This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time now for our fortnightly catch-up with what's happening in space, normally with Sarah Webb, but now we've got astrophysicist Dr. Rebecca Davies on the line, joining us from Swinburne as well. Rebecca, welcome to Drive.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, you're going to answer a question that I've always wondered, but no one's ever been able to answer for me, and that is Easter. Let's talk about it, because last year I think it was March 31st. This year it's April the 20th. That's a three-week difference. Why is that?
Yeah, so this is a really big difference, and a lot of listeners might be wondering this question, why does Easter change so much? So it turns out that the date of Easter Sunday is actually calculated based on the moon. So it is the first full moon that falls on or after the March equinox. So that all sounds a bit complicated and cryptic, but really once you break it down, it's not so bad. There are two equinoxes each year. Mm-hmm. One is in spring and one is in autumn. So these are the days when the day and the night are approximately equal in length. And the March equinox falls somewhere between the 19th and the 21st of March. Mm-hmm. But when they're calculating the date of Easter, for historical reasons, they always assume that it's on the 21st of March. So if the 21st of March happens to be a full moon and also a Saturday, then the first Sunday following that full moon would be the next day, March 22nd. And so that is, in fact, the earliest date that Easter can fall on. On the other hand, if we want to figure out the latest date that Easter can fall, if you had a full moon the day before the equinox on the 20th of March, then the next full moon would not happen until 30 days later, which is April 19. And if April 19 happened to be a Monday, then the next Sunday would be April 25. So that's the latest date that Easter can fall. So Easter Sunday can fall any day between March 22 and April 25, which is actually a period of about 5 weeks.
Ah, so if you want to book ahead in a few years' time to say, you know what, I'm going to go away for Easter, you just take the whole month off.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know. I always wondered why it was moving. Now, moving on, Neptune, the most distant planet in our solar system, it's just given us a bit of a first-time view of something spectacular. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so just a few weeks ago, we got some spectacular images from the James Webb Space Telescope of auroras on Neptune. Mm-hmm. Now, auroras are a very spectacular phenomena that we know of from the Earth. Some of the listeners might have been fortunate enough to see the amazing auroras that lit up the skies in Melbourne last year.
They're amazing.
These kind of happen when high-energy particles from the sun are trapped by the Earth's magnetic field, and then they interact with the atmosphere, causing it to glow all kinds of spectacular colors. But Earth is not the only planet that these auroras can happen on. You can get it on any planet that has an atmosphere and a magnetic field. And, in fact, auroras have been seen previously on Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus, but Neptune was the only one that we hadn't seen auroras on until now.
That's fascinating. Now, why is it? What's causing it?
So the aurora is basically caused by when there's energetic particles released from the sun, so things like solar flares, mm-hmm. Send these high-energy particles traveling through space, and they hit the atmosphere of Neptune. They interact with the magnetic field of the planet and then cause the atmosphere to glow brightly. So the glow that you see is commonly from atoms of oxygen and nitrogen and things like that in the atmosphere. Now, on Neptune, the aurora actually looks a little bit different from the Earth because it happens to fall at mid-latitudes, whereas on the Earth, we tend to see the auroras at the north and south poles. And that's because on Neptune, the magnetic field is tilted relative to the rotation of the planet. So it's a bit different from Earth.
Let's talk about Neptune. They've got a problem. Is it a problem? Similar to us, we've got climate change with temperatures increasing. They've had a cooling climate, I believe. But much, like I know that sort of 3 or 4 degrees is quite terrible for us on Earth here, but they've had a big cooling going on. Am I right?
Yeah, so it was actually very unexpected that the auroras on Neptune hadn't been seen until now, because based on the measurements taken by the Voyager 2 probe in 1989, they thought that the atmosphere was warm enough that they should have been able to see the auroras with things like the Hubble Space Telescope. But what these new images suggest is that the atmosphere is actually a lot cooler than what the measurements from Voyager 2 suggest. So the Voyager 2 measurements found an upper atmosphere temperature of around 450 to 500 degrees Celsius, whereas these new measurements suggest that it has cooled to 85 degrees Celsius. So that is a whopping, enormous, huge cooling, and something that the scientists need to study more to understand how a planet so far from the sun can experience such a drastic change in temperature.
We need to transfer some of that cooling down here on Earth.
Yeah, that would be great.
A big heat pump. Now, we're chatting with Dr. Rebecca Davies from Swinburne University of Technology. We found out about the shifting date of Easter, auroras on Neptune. And what I find absolutely fascinating is dark energy. It sounds really mysterious, but there's a bit of a development in terms of our understanding that could shake up the universe, literally. Tell us about that.
Yeah, for sure. So dark energy is definitely quite mysterious. It's a core ingredient in our model of the universe, but we don't really know what it is. Mm. So I think conceptually you can understand it as a kind of energy that permeates all of space.
Including us.
The reason, well, yes, including us. And the reason that we think dark energy exists is that in 1998, it was discovered that the universe is expanding, and not only expanding, but at an accelerating rate. This is very surprising because there's a lot of galaxies with a lot of mass, and you might expect that gravity would cause these galaxies to be attracted to one another. Hmm. But in fact, we see the opposite thing, that galaxies are moving away from one another. So dark energy was added to the models as a way to resist the force of gravity and allow the universe to expand.
So dark energy could be behind the whole expansion that's going on, that's accelerating of the universe.
Yes, that's the idea. And in the...
You know what I find fascinating, sorry to interrupt, is dark energy is, we don't know much about it, but people like yourself and Sarah can explain it really well.
I mean, we can explain what we would like it to do, but we cannot explain what exactly it is. And that is why experiments that give us more information about the properties of dark energy, like this one we're discussing, are really important. So in our standard model, the strength of dark energy is constant over time.
Right.
But what these new results have been providing strong hints of is that it seems like the strength of dark energy is actually becoming weaker over time. And so this would require fundamental changes to our model of cosmology if it was actually true.
So when will you know if that is true, that it is decreasing, it's weakening the dark energy?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So this is not the first time these results like this have come out. The same team published similar results recently in the last couple of years, and they showed a similar result but weaker. Now they've added more data, more observations, the results are becoming stronger. And so the team is actually continuing to analyze data from more galaxies, which will hopefully strengthen these conclusions and within the next couple of years allow us to make a more definitive statement about whether the actual universe deviates from our theory or whether it is in fact consistent with what we expect.
Rebecca, let's say it is consistent, as in, or it is decreasing in energy. What implications will that have in terms of now having that understanding for us on Earth?
Yeah, so there are a couple of really important implications. First of all, as I already mentioned, dark energy is what we think is driving the accelerating expansion of the universe. And so if the strength of dark energy is decreasing, then that has implications for the fate of the universe. So if the strength of dark energy decreases enough that the universe slows down its expansion or even stops its expansion, then we might be able to avoid the heat death of the universe. And that would be pretty great.
Absolutely. I was going to say, what happens if it disappears altogether, the dark energy?
Well, if we didn't have any dark energy, then basically the gravity of all the galaxies would cause the galaxies to be attracted towards each other, and we might be headed for a big crunch kind of scenario.
Okay, we don't want the big crunch, Rebecca.
No, something in between would be great.
Okay. Great chatting with you. Thanks for bringing us all the space news.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That is Rebecca Davies from Swinburne University of Technology.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.